Well, good day to you, everybody, and I trust that you have an awesome Easter as we're looking on to celebrating, enjoying, participating in, living by the one perfect, sufficient, eternal sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us at the cross. Now, you'll know what I'm talking about if you're a Christian, because it's all about Jesus Christ, who gave up his life as an offering for you and I that we might have eternal life. And of course, you know, most Christians understand that. We can get more and more into the theology of it. But of course, Easter is our time of celebrating as Christians the equivalent of what the Jewish people celebrate as Passover. Now, you might have seen on TV the Exodus movie. Oh, man, that is a good movie. Cecil B. DeMille way back there in 1956. Still a good movie to watch. I was looking at it the other day. But the story of the Passover, of course, is that God's people are slaves in Egypt, and God's bringing mighty judgments down until the Pharaoh will let the people go. And the last judgment was the angel of death would come over the land and smite the firstborn of the people, the firstborn of the cattle. I mean, it was his judgment coming against the world system, against Satan, against the Egyptian bondage, all the rest of that stuff. It was his judgment coming. And as the judgment of God would come, the people of Israel were required to do something. They would take an innocent lamb. They would have it in the house for them for a couple of days. You know, can you see the kids playing with it and getting used to it? And then they would slaughter it. They'd kill it. They'd let its blood go into a bowl, and they'd, with a branch, a hyssop branch, they would take the blood and sprinkle it around their door, the doorposts. And then they would actually roast and eat the lamb in preparation to leave Egypt. When the death angel came through the land, the Bible says clearly what would happen is the angel would see the blood and pass over that house, not striking down and killing the firstborn. Hence the word Passover. Now, as Christians, we understand, see, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the sinless one that God provided so that the sentence of death for sin against the whole world might be passed over when the blood is seen, the blood of Jesus. And so when you become a Christian, what you're saying is, Lord, I trust that Jesus Christ was provided for me as my Passover lamb, that what happened at the cross paid for my sin, and I am forgiven by that. I put my faith and trust in that. Essentially, that's where you start as a Christian. You're realizing that you're guilty as charged, and the sentence of death is upon you. And when the judgment day comes, it's going to happen. But you're saying, no, I trust in this innocent Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, whose death takes away my sin. Now, essentially, that's basic understanding for a Christian. You might be like me, and I put my trust in Christ before I even understood it. I just knew it was Jesus. I needed Jesus. I started there. And then I grew into my understanding. You may be a Christian that's studied this, read this for a long, long time, and now you know that according to what the Bible says, for example, in Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is, that Christ acted as our high priest on our behalf and took his own blood into that perfect sanctuary of heaven, that the ones made by human hands that were on earth were only copies of the real thing, which is for eternal things. And so it says in Hebrews chapter 9, he took his own blood into the most holy place, not the blood of goats and calves, and secured with his own blood our salvation forever. You know that. So when Jesus died, he was our sin offering. They would sacrifice an offering in the temple. He was our Passover offering. And so we know that there's the passing over of judgment and condemnation, the removal of sin by the sin offering. But there's more than that in the Easter story. Did you know that? Jesus Christ fulfills all the sacrifices, not just that one. And there's one very peculiar one that you hardly ever hear about. It's the sacrifice of the red heifer. I want to get into that a little bit. Because here it is in Hebrews chapter 9, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a red heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ritual defilement. Just think how much more the blood of Jesus will purify your hearts from the deeds that lead to death so you can worship the living God. What is this ashes of the red heifer sacrifice? What's that about? Well, it was prescribed in the book of Numbers, chapter 19, verse 2, where the children of Israel were commanded to bring a red heifer. That is a cow whose fur is red. It must be a cow that has no spot or blemish, never came under a yoke, wouldn't have calved, and must be perfect. But get this. In this sacrifice, the sacrifice of the red heifer was done outside the camp. Jesus was put to death outside the city walls. We're told in Hebrews, let us go out to Christ outside the camp. Amazing. There's lots of references to Christ also fulfilling the sacrifice of the red heifer. What was all this about in the Old Testament? What did they do? Did you know there was only 9 of these sacrifices of the red heifer? And what they would do would be, it wouldn't even be the high priest doing this, but for example, in Jerusalem, after the temple building was built, the sacrifice of the red heifer actually took place over on the Mount of Olives, right across the valley from the temple. In fact, that wall of the temple facing Mount Olives was actually lower so that the priest doing the sacrifice of the red heifer could see into the temple, into the place where the priests were working. They had a causeway going across the valley as well. This is well documented in Israel. You can check it out in Wikipedia, all kinds of places. Why did they have a causeway there? Because down in this valley between the temple and the wall of the city, and then up to the other side to the Mount of Olives, the valley is filled with graves. Why is it filled with graves? Why is it filled with corpses and death? Well, because right from ancient times, they believed that the Messiah will return from heaven to the Mount of Olives, just like it says about Jesus. And from there, the resurrection of the dead will start. And so Jews and Muslims have buried their dead by the thousands in that spot, right between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. Did you know that? Now, that starts to give a context for the story of the death of Christ. If we're to go outside the camp, if he died outside the camp, if part of what he did is fulfilling the ashes of the red heifer, you might say, well, what on earth is that about? Well, when the red heifer was sacrificed, it was completely consumed. Its body totally burnt to ashes, including its blood. Not the same as other sacrifices. And then these ashes were taken and mixed with water, and not just any water, it was spring water. Spring water is also called living water. And this water was kept for purification. So when this water was used and put on the priest could go into the presence of God completely purified. And clearly the picture for you and me as Christians is that what Christ has done is not only paid for our sins as the Passover lamb and as the sin offering so that we're not coming under condemnation and judgment, but also the sacrifice of Christ cleanses us so we can come boldly to the very presence of God. Wow. So not only is the command about Israel doing the red heifer sacrifice in Numbers 19, but you go to the book of Daniel and you see a reference in Daniel 12:10, where God tells Daniel that in the last days many will be purified and made white, and their sins, even though they might be scarlet, they'll be white as snow. It's a reference to when Christ came and this happened and sins are washed away. We are pure. And this purification that Christ accomplished is so that you may boldly come to the presence of God in prayer, that you may know him. You're not just forgiven by him. You're not just escaping by the blood of Jesus from the judgment day to come. But now, by trusting in Christ, we receive the living water, which incidentally cleanses us, washes us clean, so we can come right to the presence of God. Wow, man. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about it again. It says in verse 19, "Dear brothers and sisters, we can now enter heaven's most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that is, the new and living way which Christ has opened to us through the curtain," which the veil is another word for that, "which is his flesh, by means of his death for us." We can go boldly, with confidence, he says in chapter 11 and chapter 12, with confidence to the presence of God, with confidence, because the veil, his flesh, is torn. And you go, well, what is that about? Well, I'll tell you what. For the first few hundred years, Christian leaders unanimously stated in the writings, the early church fathers said they believed that Jesus Christ was actually put to death at the Mount of Olives. So that's the correct place outside the temple. The word Golgotha, which is where he was put to death, meaning skull, is often interpreted to mean the garden tomb because it happens to look skull-like. Problem is, it's not well outside of the camp, and neither is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But the word skull there is really head, and the Romans would crucify in a public place, and the place, the road right between the temple and the Mount of Olives, is the head road. That's where they actually did the head count and the census and the taxes. And so when someone in Jerusalem would say at the place of the head, it could be the place of the head count, the place of taxes, but public place, everybody knew. And they would hang people on the tree. Cursed is he who is hung on a tree. They would take the crossbar, and if there was a tree, they would pull the person up and crucify them there. And the early church fathers were unanimous in their opinion that the place that Jesus was actually put to death was outside the city walls, we agree, but it was actually at the Mount of Olives, directly across from the temple, exactly the same way as the sacrifice of the red heifer. And as the Roman soldier and others watched what happened, they saw the graves being opened, the dead rising from the graves. How did they see them? All these graves between them in the valley, in the Mount of Olives and the temple. They looked up, and they could look right in the temple, and they saw the veil being torn in two. And then Jesus' body, after he was dead, was put in a borrowed tomb. Where are the tombs? There's tombs all around. What kind of garden? The Mount of Olives and the gardens around the Mount of Olives, all down below the area where he was put to death. He fulfills not only the sin offering, the Passover offering. Jesus fulfills the offering of the sacrifice of the red heifer. Amazing. I've given you the scripture verses for this. Go check it out for yourself. What is the point? We can boldly come into the presence of God. We are washed by living water, the water of the Word. We are washed through his sacrifice and this living water applied to our life. We are made clean, not just forgiven, not just escaping from death and condemnation. We are made clean so we can boldly enter through the veil, it says in Hebrews, the veil which was his flesh. We can boldly connect into heaven. We can boldly access the throne of grace, it says in the New Testament. There's so many references that you and I, through the sacrifice of Christ, have now got total access in the presence of God. In fact, when Christ rose, he inaugurated a new creation where heaven and earth meet inside you and I. The new creation spirit life starts when you're born again. Start to think about it. Start to study it up. Realize what Jesus has done is not just forgiveness, not just escape from death, newness of life and bold access to the Father. Start to apply it, live it, know it, enjoy it, be it, in Jesus' name. And I hope you'll, I've just touched on this subject of the ashes of the red heifer. One of the most significant sacrifices for the Jews, which is clearly in the book of Hebrews as well, which is clearly our provision to come through the veil to the presence of the living God.